Mira a la izquierda, mira a la derecha. ¿Qué ves? ¿Dónde estás? In a world that seems to change daily, what will you do next? Welcome to the Next Steps Show with Peter Vasquez and co-host Aisha Kreutz, a starting point for discussion y un poco de dirección. Buenas tardes, good afternoon. ¿Cómo estás, ladies and gentlemen? Sí, soy yo, tu conservative New Yorker, Peter Vasquez, aquí en the WISL Studios otra vez. Y sí, of course, tenemos a la Voz de Libertad. ¿Cómo estás, señor Voz de Libertad?
Happy Passover. Is that okay to say? Happy Passover?
I sure hope so.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, ladies, did you hear that voice again? Like, check this out. That's two shows in a row. If you learned it, listened on Friday. Who was that?
I don't know. Who was it?
I think that,
yeah,
ladies
I know you
and
can
gentlemen.
Count to two now.
What?
I know you can count to two now, though.
Why
okay.
do you say that?
You said the second time. The voice for the second time.
Ah,
1-2.
Look at that.
It's
look
impressive.
At that. Picking on the fact that I'm Puerto Rican cheaper. It just never ends with this woman.
Try to keep up here, Peter, okay?
Listen, the ball that goes just over my head.
Yes.
Anyways, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? The mayor of River, thanks for, like, taking all the wind out of the whole introduction.
Sorry.
That's what listeners listen in for, right, Bob? That's what they... And they can call you and say, oh, we want to hear is the intro.
I'm hearing a helo out here. I think we got incoming wounded. I don't know what the deal is.
They're coming for us.
Yeah.
We knew it was coming, everybody. We knew it was coming.
They waited until we're all together in one place.
That's right.
Can you imagine? Let's see, black suits coming
down.
Did
you know, speaking of all together, did you know that with your... The new, like, washer and dryers, microwaves, fridge, all of those. You know that they can pinpoint basically where you will be in your house now, the government, based on how you, because it's all smart, whatever. Like, when you open your refrigerator, when you do your laundry, they can pinpoint when you may be in your house.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they have a Cat5 cable. You connect to them.
Yep.
Why does a refrigerator need to have an internet connection?
Yeah. It's crazy.
The helicopter, sorry. Why does it have to have? No, you're right, though.
But
I mean,
you know,
listen, you can't vote with your refrigerator, right? Yeah, that's a joke.
Right. Not yet.
They'll probably want you to.
There's another voice
here.
There is. Can I continue with my introduction now? Because you know what? It ain't about you. I mean, it might be about the guy who owns the place, but...
That's all about our guest today.
No, check it out. See, there is no surprise that there's a helicopter on its way here, probably, right? Because when we bring our guest on, we talk about truth. We talk about things that are important, like that balance of faith, politics, and entrepreneurship, and the courage that instills in you, right, to take your next step. So today I have the pleasure of introducing the dedicated pastor of Christ Community Church in Clyde, New York. Hey, I bet you don't know where that is. A fever and believer, our guest has turned his past hardships into a powerful ministry, fearlessly proclaiming the gospel in the most challenging places. And check out what he's done in the name of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about religion, okay? We're talking about faith. His commitment to spread the message of redemption is an inspiring testament to the transformative powers of balancing your faith, politics, and entrepreneurship. See, amigos y amigas, ladies and gentlemen, hey, stay with me as I introduce to you the Honorable Reverend Jacob Marchetel. Marchetel. Oh, man,
good
hey, I dropped out in the ninth grade. English is my third language.
That's okay. I went to government school myself, so you know all the education they give you.
So
big
you
trouble,
get it,
man.
You get it. Although, you know...
I think it more has to do with it being your second language than school, but...
Well, I said my third because, you know, kind of like whatever they spoke on the street
Spanglish?
At the time was probably mine. Then, yeah, and then you mixed that with a little Spanish and you know, because you got to hang. You can't speak proper English when you're walking down Clinton Avenue thinking that you're somebody that you ain't.
Now listen, that's my kids still make fun of me.
He speaks Spitalian.
Oh, yeah. No, it's Spitalian.
You do?
Spanish-Italian. Spitalian.
I speak Polanish.
You can't even say it.
I'm just trying to make Polish and Spanish mixed together.
So this is my Spanish... My Spanish-Italian, bonjour, ¿cómo estás?
Yes.
See, you like that? That is Spanish or Italian, right? Bonjour?
No, that's French.
Oh, that's jeepers! Look at
Do
that.
Do you speak any languages?
I'm just kidding, English. Ladies and gentlemen. Barely. So, Jacob,
Read Hebrew.
A
little bit.
Hey, you know what's being observed nationally today?
What's that?
It's National Poke Day.
What is it?
Poke Day. P-O-K-E Day. So I could poke you.
Oh.
Oh, never mind. Jeepers. Ladies and
National
gentlemen.
National Poke Day. Well, that's one we need. It's Passover, though. Today's the beginning of Passover.
I want to share a note that I got with you guys. And Jacob, again, guys, you come on the Next Step show. This is why some of you should be sponsors of the show, too. You know, a lady sent me a message yesterday, and I'll leave her name out of it. But she had said that initially listening to the show when I first came on, you know, they were like, it's nothing but another show that's going to talk about Spanish stuff that doesn't have anything to do with me. And then she said that she was listening a little bit more. And a little bit more, and a little bit more, and then she realized that the conversation had to do about all of us, and she realized that the conversation of dialogue requires there to be this understanding of each other, this understanding of our cultures. You know, I've asked several times, I think even on Friday I asked you, Aisha, how is it that we can have gun clubs, for example, where our high school students attend in a place like Avon, New York, or Medina, New York,
Clyde,
New York. But yet in the city of Rochester and other urban centers like that, you can't even have a gun store, right? But no one talks about the cultural issue, right? So the gentleman we have in studio today is a guy that's going to talk about what he did and how he did it, right? Finding that balance in faith, politics, and entrepreneurship, and what became his forefront that today he's a leader in fighting against some of these things that are destroying our youth. Jacob, do you mind telling us a little bit about who you are? But Jacob, not the bio that we can find on a website, okay? What our listeners like to know is, who was Jacob before you became the Jacob you are today?
The Jacob that I am today is only and exclusively by the grace of Jesus Christ. No one else, nothing in my life has ever earned or garnered any sort of blessings in my life, and it is solely by the shed blood and broken body of Jesus Christ and the redemption that is given to us by him that I am who I am. So if we were to rewind the clock 20, 30 years ago, I would not be anything like I am today. I was a rebellious, rowdy, I suppose you could say I was just a boy, you know, rowdy, rebellious. I just wanted to cause problems with everything and everyone. I loved punk rock music and starting fights and all of those kinds of things that most boys should do. They should start fights, but good, godly fights. They should be rowdy, but in good, godly ways. They should be troublemakers, but good, godly troublemakers. And it took a venture into the valley of darkness, as it were, for me to realize that God was in charge and I wasn't.
What was that? Do you mind telling us what that...
Oh, I was arrested the first time in seventh grade for calling in a bomb threat to the government school I attended in Clyde, Savannah. I got a lot to say about them, but that was in seventh grade. And then in the summer before my senior year, I was arrested for vandalism and property destruction and all those kinds of things. And then my senior year, I got kicked out of school for smoking weed on school property. If that were to happen today, I'm sure that the administration would ask me who I got the weed from.
Yeah. No, when you say weed, you're not talking about like what's in the backyard or anything like that. I'm just kidding. Hey, Bob, you said when we walked in that you thought he was your stump grinder, right?
I was expecting our stump grinder to stop by here. We've cleared out a part of the tree line here. Because his pickup truck is like the stump grinder guy.
Well, I bring that up, though, because, I mean, just to put a visual, you do look like a... But then you started talking, and I'm like, holy cow, this guy could actually go and be a good stump grinder.
I don't mind getting my hands dirty.
Voice. he's got the beard. He's got, his little, the tattoos and all that stuff, so...
So you grew up in Clyde.
Yep, my whole life.
And if I may ask, and you don't have to answer, but you're not a lady, so I'm not being disrespectful, but how old are you?
I am 40 years old.
You're 40 years old. So you're not old, you're not young, you're
no,
just
I'm
around
right
that
middle.
Age that you're going to kind of start going down the hill. But
yes.
Just kidding.
Pleasant thought.
So about how old were you when
Welcome
one
to
day
the next
you
step show.
You kind of when and you're not black. I want to make sure that, is that true? I mean,
yeah,
am I
not
incorrect
black.
In that statement? Or?
No, I'm Italian American.
You're Italian American. Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I didn't think it did because you had black friends. I have to assume when you were in those dark places that were there with
implied?
You.
Are there black people?
Oh, there's a few. I think. I don't really know. I don't keep tabs on.
No. Well, if you worked for the government, you'd have to. So because you know they want to know those kind of things, and you know we don't work for the government here, but. But why not ask?
I'm his friend, kind
of. But you're not black. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Next Step Show. Mira, regresamos en unos momentos, so no te vayas. 346-3000. We want to hear from you, okay? We'll be right back right here in WYSL.
In the Rochester and Finger Lakes region, one name stands above all others for real estate appraisal and advice.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
This full-service real estate appraisal company can appraise and advise on purchase and sales decisions, mortgage finance feasibility, estate, matrimonial, partnership buyouts, litigation, and more for any type of property, both residential and commercial. Ryan Murphy was founded almost 40 years ago. All of our highly trained staff members have at least 20 years of experience. All our appraisers are either New York State certified, general or residential real estate appraisers.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
Start here. RYNNEMurphy.com.
Youth for Christ Rochester is growing. With the help from the John R. Wegman Foundation, we're adding Saturday mornings back to basketball, while the Saunders Foundation brings back skills and drills for the spring and summer. Our middle school girls program will be starting in a second school this fall. Watch for a new name change for that program. But we need your help. Make a one-time gift of $300 or a monthly gift of $25 to sponsor a kid for a year. Go to yfcrochester.org/donate.
Advertising on the WYSL stations is both affordable and effective, but it's so much more than that. When your business or professional practice has a presence on the Voice of Liberty, you connect with a patriotic, awake, and aware audience that cares about society, our families, our schools, our values, and our future. And our listeners appreciate you and respond. We can end the madness together. For truth and freedom, the WYSL stations, the Voice of Liberty. Call 346-3000 to advertise today.
Peter Vasquez and Next Step Show on the WYSL station.
Yes, and this free-for-all is brought to you by the real estate appraisal firm of Ryan Murphy and Associates, Rochester, the Finger Lakes, the whole region, residential and commercial. Hey, you know, with all the craziness in the real estate market, you need somebody on your side, Ryan Murphy. Here's Peter.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 177th show of the Next Step Show, aquí on WYSL. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, think about it. Be part of that movement. So, Aisha, before break, I said you ain't black. You want to know why I say you ain't black?
Because I didn't vote for Biden.
Because you didn't vote for Biden. That's all the proof anybody needs. That's ladies true. And gentlemen, 346-3000. If you disagree with that, let us know. I want to know why. But, Jacob, your story is profound. Right. And on the bio that you had sent me, you had talked about that you could easily be the mirror of the word of Apostle Paul, as it stated in Romans 7, verses 24 and 25. Can you expound on that? I mean, what does that mean? You're only 40. So I'm like, wait a minute. You know, most 40-year-olds don't think about that.
Well,
that's a profound statement.
To quote Indiana Jones, it's not the years, it's the mileage.
Yeah.
And I actually, I have a Romans 7:24 tattooed on me where Paul says, "Oh, what a wretched man am I, who can deliver me from this body of death?" He was explaining that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one, and that all of us, because of our volitional, willing sins that we've committed, have earned nothing from heaven but the wrath of God. And when we die, we're going to have to give an account before that God who knows all and sees all. And all of our sins are going to be laid bare before us as we stand naked before him. And nothing we've ever done in our life will ever be able to justify us. We will never be able to say, well, what about, well, did you consider this thing? Well, what about that over there? I gave a homeless person a sandwich one time, so I should be able to go to heaven when I die. And, oh, I'm basically a good person. And the Bible disagrees with that mentality wholeheartedly. The Bible through and through teaches in all 66 books that all of us have sinned and fallen short, and it is only by the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we could ever enter through those pearly gates.
Wow. But I'm confused, though, because you said you had tattooed on yourself this verse, and it's just a little bit of a contradiction from what I understand. So there are people out there, because I have a couple tattoos, that have been like, oh, Peter, you know what? There's nothing you can do. You're going to help. That's it. You were marked. You are marked, Aisha, because I know you have issues with that, too.
Well, I don't think that.
Well, what do you think?
I mean, I believe that we...
Because you're one of the people that told me I'm going to hell.
I have never said that you're going to hell for having a tattoo. Mm-hmm. I do believe that, you know, scripturally, we are not... So, you know, again, I have my ears pierced, right? I mean, like, we're not supposed to scar our bodies. But as it specifically relates to tattoos, actually his, right, they are more related to... Scripture, right? And he says, we're not supposed to tattoo our bodies of other gods. That's what the scripture is about. And so, again, I have a tattoo of an upside down cross on my middle finger to flip off Christians, right? But as he said, all have
sinned.
Pretty
creative.
No. But again, that was part of my being in the occult and all of those things and how I felt about Christians, right? That is wretched. Doesn't mean I'm going to hell, right? But I do believe that, like, now in my time, right? I know that scripture says if I were to go and, you know, I don't know, get a tattoo of something, especially a lot of times people get names of their kids or their parents. I mean, that's kind of putting that person ahead of God versus, right, when you're doing a scripture, the scripture does say of other gods. So that's just my take on it. And I haven't really, you know, are you going to go to hell? No. So you're just not perfect like the rest of us.
I have a tattoo of a mouse that says nobody's perfect. Yeah, you can laugh
there
at
you
me
go.
Later. Is that bad?
Well, again, I don't think that and you know, hey, we want to hear from you, Jacob, but I don't think that it's about whether it's good or bad, but I do believe, right, my before Christ person and my after Christ person are different. If I were to get a tattoo today, it would be probably scripture related or somehow something that is going to portray and forward who Jesus Christ is, right? If my kids want to get a tattoo, I'm like, yeah, don't get a mouse, right? I mean, what does it have to do with...
Speedy, you know, Gonzalez,
but
hello?
Again, that was, you know... But again, are you going to go to hell because you do it? No. We're not perfect, but it's just, you know, our crowns, what we get, and how God says, you know, his perfect will versus his permissive will. They're
Hey, Jacob,
yeah.
Mind me not to bring up Christmas in this conversation, okay?
Anyway, your thoughts, Jacob?
What I would say, there's two really things that need to be understood in terms of tattoos. And the first is that when that law was given to the Israelites, it was given because the nations around them were tattooing
That's
their
right.
bodies for other gods, for the dead, as a form of worship. And
see.
When we see these foaming at the mouth atheists barking at us because of our tattoos and our clothing of mixed fabrics, and they
right.
say, well, if you're wearing a shirt with two different fabrics, then you have nothing to say against homosexuality because the laws were given at the same time. My response to that atheist, it's clever. I think it's clever, at least in my own head. I laugh at my own jokes more than anyone else does. I ask them if they buckle their seatbelts when they file their taxes. And they look at me cross-eyed for just a moment, and I explain to them that buckling your seatbelt is a law and filing your taxes are a law, but they don't relate to each other. So just like now today, there are different categories of laws.
I'm stealing that.
There were different categories of laws back then. And now to fast forward to today, what matters is what's in your heart.
That's right.
If I'm going to be tattooing myself filled with hateful imagery or naked
Correct.
Women or something like that, then of course there's evil in my heart because – what goes into our body doesn't defile us. It's what comes,
out
of our heart.
That's right. Exactly.
So,
I like what he said. He said it better than I did.
So reading an article on gynosexuality isn't going to, like, hurt my brain or anything? Remember,
no.
I found that article.
I mean, if you all of a sudden decide
you
you're going to be a giant gyno.
I don't know if I want to.
It's actually pretty mild.
Feminine. Yeah, it is.
No, yeah, you definitely wouldn't fall into this. You'd be like, so it's the attraction, the sexual attraction to feminism.
Isn't that just called being a man?
Well, no, because you can be a woman that likes guys that are feminine, or a guy that likes girls that are feminine, because, I mean, inequality and inclusion, not all women
He's
are feminine.
Making a face, you guys. But I do want to, let me jump in here, though. There are some very effeminate men who are men.
Yes.
Right? And actually, I think that's one of the ways that we twist up why we call some people queer, right? Mm-hmm. Is because they'll be like, oh, because they're effeminate, right? But I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
No. And I bring that up a little bit only because, you know, I know some pretty brute-looking guys that are the most gentle people.
Absolutely.
I mean, you'd look at them and be like, I ain't going anywhere near. I mean, it's like I'm going to walk across the street kind of people. Yeah. But they're not. They, like, you know, these are the guys that don't know you, and they'll put their coat out for you to cross a puddle kind of guy.
Right. Right. You know, or a lot of people who are in, like, the arts, whether it's dance or graphics and different things. Sometimes people will be like, you know, oh, you like to play with dolls. But they're making, like, you know, the most elaborate dioramas and different things like that for cartoon. You know what I mean? Or cartoon sets. It's like, okay, the way we look at things are different. Anyway.
And then there's Aisha, and you know exactly what you get. All you got to do is look. You went down a political path as you progressed in your faith, as you became more engaged in your community, as you started seeing what's going on. But before we get into exactly what you did, can you help us understand how your faith and that whole political See, I believe entrepreneurship. I find, you know, my show is all about finding balance in those. Entrepreneurship being the you being your own first corporation. So it doesn't necessarily mean of forming an LLC. It's really forming a mission statement for yourself, a strategic plan on where you're going. And you got to have balance.
Yeah. Well, I would quote, there's a guy named Abraham Kuyper who said that there isn't a square inch of all reality that Jesus Christ doesn't cry out, mine. Everything in all of reality belongs to Jesus Christ. Every square inch of it. Every school, every family, every business, every radio station, every government, every military, everything in all of reality belongs to Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. So if we start with that scriptural truth that God owns everything, and then we look at the behavior of the disciples and the apostles in Scripture, we begin to see a pattern emerge that we don't see in the church today. We see Christians sitting back, being calm, and keeping their faith behind closed doors. And you be a Christian in your church and in your home, but as soon as you enter the public sphere, keep your faith, keep it quiet. And to quote a pastor named Doug Wilson, he says that if they don't want us to talk about Jesus in the public sphere, then they ought not have crucified him in the public sphere.
Come on.
And
how old is he again? I'm sorry.
we have a divine obligation before God to press the crown rights, quote unquote, press the crown rights of Jesus Christ into every area of all reality.
Nice. So, hey, for the rest of this segment, we got at least another couple of minutes. I want to talk about your journey, like from the day you realized that God was your path, that you were not in the right place, that you needed to make a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, that journey that took you from there to the point that you did your first political, faith-based, hey, guys, listen, we need a culture shift, and it can only happen with God. Well,
right.
Tell us that journey.
Well, how long we got, right?
Not long.
Well,
not 2 minutes.
I would say that The providence of God unfolding in my life and the way it did resulted in me being the kind of person where if I'm going to go swimming, I am going to cannonball into the deep end. I'm not going to test the water. I'm not going to dip my toes in. I am going to go full strength 100% of the way until I either crash and burn or succeed. So that's just the kind of person I am. And when I realized that life outside of Christ is vacant, hollow, shallow, and empty, I was like, well, if I'm going to go after God, then of course I'm going to be a pastor. I mean, what else is there? Not to say that other Christians that aren't pastors are failing. No, not at all. That's just the calling of God on my life was you need to go all the way as hard as you can until you crash and burn or succeed. Those are the only options in my book.
Nice. I became a chaplain. I mean, not quite a pastor, so I guess I was only almost there. No, just kidding. You know, to be honest with you, though, I have given consideration over the years to do that, to become a pastor, looking at that a little closer. And then I realized that my heart and my calling was really more in the community and shifting change where I can. And that's kind of what led me to politics.
Yeah.
Because I figured, although I believe in helping one person helps many, I also believe that if I can help many, then those many can help many more. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'm silly. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Next Step Show. Aquí today, I'd say a special day because tenemos a...
Ayesha Kreitz.
Yep, the extraordinary machine, the mirror, real voice. También tenemos al Honorable Reverend Jacob, and Dr. Savaje. We'll be right back in the WYSL stations.
Pois o samba está animado, o jogueiro em samba. Este samba.
Peter Vasquez and Next Step Show on the WYSL stations.
É Chinito, Kelly.
É Chinito.
Alô,
Flito. Mira, Chinita. Hey, can you let that play a little bit? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chinito, Los Ojos Chino with Gran Combo, I believe. I think I've said this before. This yes, right here, this song right here.
Yes, that's my lady. I love Christine. Christine, well, if you're out there, listen, you're my angel.
You want to find your perfect woman? Play this song the next time you go on a date. That's all I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Next Step Show. Aquí en studio con el honorable, the honorable, how about that? Reverend Jacob Marquetel. Yeah, that's Marquetel. What I said. Oh, we have Aisha también. La Voz de Libertad, Señor D'Angelo. We got a full studio today.
Yeah.
Sounds like I'm the only one talking.
No. Well, you know, so Jacob, we were talking about politics.
We were actually talking about beans, but that's okay. We can talk about politics.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about some black beans and rice.
Yeah, Aisha's always got something inappropriate to say.
Because I love, you know, I'm more Cuban, and so I like the black beans and rice, and he's Puerto Rican, so he's always talking smack about my black beans and rice.
African-American beans.
Oh, yes.
They just called black beans African American.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You guys should be
African American beans. You are correct.
But what about pinto beans? Those are kind of brown. Are those like the Puerto Rican beans? Well, they are because
they are Puerto Rican. That's right. See, the colors all go in together.
Okay.
Well,
so
anyway.
So now.
Yeah.
Now,
go ahead.
No, you go.
No. Well, we want trying to get back to Jacob and how.
You should tell people to call the show.
Your transition. Kind of came into place, right?
Yeah.
And how that has now, like where you are now, right? Have you seen any kind of push? I mean, how does that work?
I've definitely seen some pushback. There was I can't remember the specific sermon. It was about a year ago, maybe 8 months ago. I was preaching against transgender ideology and the absolute destruction that it's wreaking on our culture. And then the next day, some people stuck a maxi pad to my church doors. And instead of being good, bold criminals and putting an actual used maxi pad on my church doors, they colored it in with a red marker. Like, at least have the gall, the fortitude to be a real criminal. Like, is this it? Is this the only pushback these God-hating pagans can throw at us? So there was that, and there was a lot of other pushbacks. I've gotten death threats and stuff like that.
A maxi pad.
Hang on, I gotta ask.
Just kept going.
Why would you encourage anything other than a marker filled maxi pad? Not that you should encourage any maxi pad.
I think he's saying because if you're gonna do it, go
right.
all the way.
Yeah,
kind of like
go all the way.
Transgenders go all. I have more respect, you know, right? I mean, listen, they go all the way. Like if you're so committed to, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's what he's saying. Like if you're gonna commit, and you wanna,
I gotcha.
I'm not.
I guess I'm just glad that they fall short in some of those things.
Oh yeah,
I just see the or be the guy that's got to clean that up.
Yeah, and I know, right, I first learned about you. It was a video that you had done. It was all-age drag show.
Yeah, the all-ages drag show in Lyons.
Yeah, yep. And I was like, who is this guy? Because, I don't know, the way that you went about it, right? It was like, hey, can I have a question, right? I mean, we're joking right now and stuff. But it was this really an outcry and an outreach to say, hey, I just want to understand where you're coming from, what your thoughts are. And you were trying to, you know, and I thought it was very polite. And then, you know, it turned into...
So you approached a group that was doing one of those read-along things that they have?
Well, this one, the one she's mentioning, wasn't a story hour with the drag queens. It was just an all-ages drag show in Lyons. And it was actually like 500 feet away from the elementary school, which Lyons doesn't have anything on the books about that. I looked into it. I questioned their council. I went to their board meetings and was wondering, why don't you have any rules or laws about anything like this? And got no answers, just got... Oh, we'll think about it. We'll talk about it. And they just pushed it away and pushed it away. And then they had a second all ages drag show in the same location, right down the road from the elementary school. And I don't know. I just see the Christians in our culture need to take a stand, take a voice, go out in public. We need to risk the ridicule. The Apostle Paul in Acts 15, I believe it was, Acts 16. When the Apostle Paul was preaching in Philippi, it started a riot. When he was preaching in Ephesus in Acts 20, it started a riot.
Yeah.
We need to confront the culture of death, the culture of perversion that is pervasive everywhere in America, in upstate New York, in Wayne County, in Clyde, Savannah. We need to confront that with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Rochester, New York. I want to ask a question. And mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, 346-3000, would love your take on this. And I'm gonna ask you, I guess, from a devil's advocate perspective, literally a devil's advocate, huh? And this is specific to the whole transgender mm-hmm. show that they were having. Under the Constitution, it says that everybody has a right to speak and say their own values, whatever the case may be. So wouldn't that group of people have the same rights to go out there and do that than everybody else?
I would say they have the rights to dress up like the men have rights to dress up like women and dance for other people that get their jollies off by watching men dress like women dancing. Leave kids out of it. It makes no sense.
But if the parents in that particular group, right? Because listen, my kids are my kids. Don't tell me what's right or wrong as far as, you know, I guess somebody can give me their opinion, but other than that. But wouldn't it be the same for those parents?
I would say parents that bring their children to drag shows are bad parents.
Maybe, but that's an opinion.
Oh, no, because there is a standard of morality that transcends our culture, that transcends our laws, that transcends the Constitution, and it is the moral law of Jesus Christ that transcends all cultures, all time, all geography, everywhere and everywhen.
And as well, you know, not just that, right, but just from a societal contract, right? Like you don't bring your kid to a strip club, right? There are certain things.
Or
to a bar, right? There's certain things that we've always had that we are just say, this just isn't right.
Keep
right?
Keep kids away from it.
Right. Keith, thank you for calling the Next Step Show, brother. What say you?
To the guest, my father was also a clergyman, but I, the son, Sonny Boy, am more of a realist. So the question I'm putting to you is, with my father during his time in the pulpit, what good does it really do to speak out when, in this case, Biden, the president of the United States, towards the weekend, this past weekend, was doing even further damage to Title IX and taking away women's sports, allowing the transgenders in there. And secondly, the few who are speaking out, like a Miss Riley Gaines, the answer is her fellow female athletes and their parents don't want to be doxxed and chased by the left. So what good is it when the president himself is taking away our traditional American values, inserting a complete falsehood of transgenderism and completely taking away, in this case, women's sports, when the top person in the country and even the world, the American president, period, is doing all of this tragedy, whether it's you or my father, both of you in the pulpit? It seems really like a losing battle. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Keith. And by the way, guys, before you enter, we can't refer to this guy as the president in the White House. It's the buffoon in the White House, right? Because we respect the office, but he's still a buffoon. Anyways.
What I would say is it does seem like a losing fight. It sure does. And what we could do is we could look at history and look at the early church, why were the Christians then speaking out against the Roman Empire? That seemed like a far worse losing fight. I mean, they were crucifying Christians, soaking them in tar and lighting them on fire. And the worst that happens to us is we get canceled, we get doxxed, someone eggs my house, someone sticks a maxi pad on my church door. Is that it? Crucify me. Do something of value. So though it seems like a losing battle, I would refer to a few key verses in Scripture. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And what we need to understand is that gates are defensive, and the church needs to be on the offensive, and the gates of hell will not prevail. We can charge the gates of hell all day long, and they will fall before us.
And our offensive weapon, prayer and the word of God, right? Yes. And if we're not speaking it out into the public, right, then you're not actually being on the offense to go ahead against those gates of hell, right? And as well, why wouldn't we, you know, like it's seeming like a losing battle, but we only have one to answer to, right? Amen. And that's God.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Ellen in the car. We're going to get to you, Ellen, right after these few messages. So no te vayas, por favor, because you're listening to your conservative New York and aquí in the WYSL studios. We'll be right back. Go out tonight. If we work out somehow, maybe we can find a way out, baby. And he left and said, I got to go.
And she cried. In the Rochester and Finger Lakes region, one name stands above all others for real estate appraisal and advice.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
This full-service real estate appraisal company can appraise and advise on purchase and sales decisions, mortgage finance feasibility, estate, matrimonial, partnership buyouts, litigation, and more for any type of property, both residential and commercial. Ryan Murphy was founded almost 40 years ago. All of our highly trained staff members have at least 20 years of experience. All our appraisers are either New York State certified, general or residential real estate appraisers.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
Start here. RYNNEMurphy.com.
The difference is dignity. At Open Door Mission, we open our arms and hearts to help those in need. We treat every one of our guests with respect and dignity. No matter the road that led to us, Open Door Mission is here to help. Give your support at opendoormission.com.
Has your favorite pizza place been letting you down? Try Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery in Avon. Not only is their pizza amazing, but their full menu and bakery has something for everyone. Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery, Avon.
Advertising on the WYSL stations is both affordable and effective, but it's so much more than that. When your business or professional practice has a presence on the Voice of Liberty, you connect with a patriotic, awake, and aware audience that cares about society, our families, our schools, our values, and our future. And our listeners appreciate you and respond. We can end the madness together. For truth and freedom, the WYSL stations, the Voice of Liberty. Call 346-3000 to advertise today.
Next Steps with Peter Vasquez on the WYSL stations.
And brought to you by the real estate appraisal firm of Ryan Murphy and Associates. Peter, what's up?
Oh, we got Ellen on the phone. Ellen, thank you for calling the Next Step Show.
Oh, it's my pleasure to talk to you guys. Hi, Ayesha. How you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. I just want to let you guys know, and maybe you already know about this, but the World Health Organization is planning on doing some type of a treaty on May 27th with President Biden. Sorry. And it's about censoring people. It's about giving 5% of all of our money to developing countries, one of which is China. And it's about giving over our sovereignty for emergencies like pandemics and stuff like that to China. And this is a treaty that may very well happen. And so I called Senator Helming about it because Senator Johnson, on the 18th of this month, April, was standing before a podium. You can find it on YouTube if you go under Norman, Good, and Johnson. So these are the three representatives that are talking about it, and they're saying to call your senator. So I did, and Pam Helming's office called me back and said, no, you have to call Schumer and Gillibrand. So I did, and I just let them know I'm against it. I'm in opposition of any kind of treaty with the World Health Organization that's going to go through. So wanted to put that out there.
Ellen, thank you for that information. I really appreciate it. And the thing is, you know, I watch some movies. I love movies. I don't watch a lot of TV, but when I do, I like watching movies. Unless it's Star Trek, then I'll watch those. But the this is TV stuff, what Ellen was describing. From a biblical perspective, Pastor, what do you see?
What I would say is that it is right to be cautious of the things that the leaders of our nation are up to. It's wise to even be weary of them, especially considering the things that they've been allowing that affect us down here on the local level. So it's wise to be aware of it, but what is far, far more important than what the bloodthirsty tyrants in our offices are up to, what's more important is what's going on in your town, in your school, what is your mayor doing? Is there, like there is in Clyde, Savannah, is there a cross-dressing man with breast implants driving around 8-year-old little girls on the school bus? Is that happening in your town? Does your town, like North Rose Wolcott, have a book called All Boys Aren't Blue or The Bride Was a Boy? Are these things being taught to the kids that run up and down your streets, kicking a ball, throwing a frisbee, throwing a baseball? It is far more important for us to be concerned with what is going on in our local towns, in our families, with our friends, than it is with what the people in office are doing. Because what happens is the when the gospel goes forward against the gates of darkness, against the gates of hell fall, and Isaiah 55:11, God says that his word will not return void. So we need to understand that everything else in this world has the probability and the possibility of returning void. Like, our votes can come back void. They won't matter in the big scheme of things. And we saw that a number of years ago where votes didn't really matter. Mm-hmm. So if we put all of our hope on political strength, then we are going to be left continually feeling like we are always fighting a losing battle, always the small guy. What we need to understand is that the gospel going forward, we need to go to school board meetings. We need to go to village board meetings. We need to hold our mayor, our town supervisor, our county supervisor, our senators, the rhinoceroses that travel all over the place. We need to hold them accountable to the gospel and the law of Jesus Christ.
Dan, thank you for calling the Next Step Show, sir.
How you doing, folks? Yeah, I'm curious as to what the pastor thinks about what Jesus is. Very Jesus-centric, as Christians should be. You know, what he feels about what's going on in Palestine to the Palestinians under the thumb of the Israelis. There was a very important meeting of pro-Palestinian groups in Germany this weekend that was busted up by the local police, and also a number of the speakers were banned from Germany in order to keep them from that, and were told if they submitted any kind of written or video commentary to any of those groups in Germany, that they would be breaking German law and subject to that.
Yep, Dan, only because we're running out of time, let's give the pastor time to answer your question. I really appreciate your call, Dan. What do you got?
I would say that Israel belongs to the Jews, just like America belongs to the Americans, and any country has a right to defend itself. But again, I'm going to repeat what I said last time. We need to be more concerned with what is going on in our towns than what's going on the other side of the planet. We need to.
Absolutely.
Start with your school board.
Amen.
Can I just real quick chime in, though? Uh-huh. You know, and also God will ask no one if they stood up for America or any other nation. He's only going to ask if we stood up for Israel. So,
where'd you read that at?
Oh, the Bible.
What verse? What verse is that? So people can look it up later.
You know, bless...
I put her in the spot.
God is going to bless you, you know, bless those who bless Israel. I mean, it's throughout the whole Bible. That is the one, right? The second coming of Christ, when we're reading in Revelations, that when he comes back, right, it is because of the destruction, because everybody turns their back on Israel, right? That's the final nail in the coffin. So we just, you know, again, I don't want to get into all that, but we just have to recognize that America isn't, you know, there's no other country that God says that about, right? No other people.
So, Pastor, you make it a point to go to places that all Christians should go to, right? And profess their faith, you say.
Yes.
You've been to drag queen shows and had talked to people nonviolently. This is all nonviolent stuff, obviously. Concentration or reproductive rights clinics that are concentration camps.
Yes, they are.
By the way, we invite you fourth Thursday of every month at the Planned Parenthood and University.
All right.
We have our Stand Together for Life. Would love to have you there. Peaceful. Sure. Discussion. You've been in public squares, and you call that public squares where those wandering the streets of the world that cares not for them are gathered. What kind of people are you referring to? The homeless?
No. Just the people that support the infanticide that's happening behind those doors, the people that support the childhood grooming that's going on in government schools or drag queen story hours. Those people don't understand who they are supporting and what they're supporting. There is a Tolkienian level of warfare going on right now between the kingdoms of darkness and the kingdom of light. And they don't know that they're supporting the Dark Lord Sauron. They don't know that they are just orcs in his hand. And it is our duty as Christians to call them out of their sin, to call them out, to point them to Jesus Christ and let them know who he is. While simultaneously, and this is the hard part, while simultaneously not lifting ourselves up over them, we are just blind beggars showing another beggar where to find bread.
Come on.
So
that's right.
I have a very important question that I'm hoping we can kind of end the show on before I ask for some advice for our listeners, right? And quickly, because we don't have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Where does forgiveness play in this whole path that you're on?
Forgiveness comes to us only by the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. The only advice I would ever give anyone that I'm never going to meet and form a relationship with, all the people listening to this, the people that might watch the videos I put online, the only advice I'm ever going to give them is to repent of their sins and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the forgiveness that comes to us from God is not based on us and our actions and our duties and our good works. In fact, the Bible says that our good works are nothing but filthy rags, and our forgiveness comes from Jesus Christ alone.
How can someone learn more about you, Pastor?
You can look up the church on Facebook, Christ Community Church of Clyde. You can find me on Facebook, Jacob Marketel. And I have a website, jacobmarketel.com, that I put some writing up. And, yeah.
And Marketel is spelled M-A-R-C-H-I-T-E-L-L.
That's right.
M-A-R-C-H-I-T-E-L-L.
Yeah, you pronounce that how it's spelled. Anyways, hey, Bob, I think it's time for...
Now... Free Soup with Aisha Kreutz.
And today I just want to do something a little bit different for our Free Soup. It is the beginning of Passover, or today is Passover. So in Zechariah 1:3 it says, "Return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." When we're thinking about the blessings, and as we commemorate the Lord's deliverance through Passover, may we just continue, you know, and this is a great segment, that we continue to remember that Yeshua is the light of the world. He's our eternal salvation, giving his life and death so that death could pass over us, and that he is the light of all of the world, to all of those who receive him. And so as we commemorate Passover and lean into that, may you know that you are blessed and that it is his righteousness that will continue to lead you if you allow.
Today is Monday, April 22nd, aquí on the Next Step Show and the WYSL stations. It's always a blessing, ladies and gentlemen. Say it with me. Leadership is the beacon that guides me, for it's through selfless service that I illuminate the way for others to find their greatness. Ladies and gentlemen, be a leader. Share with us. Advertise with us. NextStepShow.com. Que tengan una tarde bendecida until tomorrow. Y no te olvides, your conservative New Yorican, La Voz de Libertad, the mayor of Rioville, and everybody here at WYSL, te amamos.